analyzing spectrum. Okay, let's start tonight's work session at 5:31. Did Dina get a hold of you? Did you talk to Dina? Okay. Did you come in? Okay. All right, I thought you were going to come in today. Poll watching. Okay. All right, work session, AED machines. Tony. Birkinshaw.
So I met with the safety committee, and one of the things that we addressed was our AED machines at the town building, at the highway department, at the parks department. They're no longer, our AED machines are a couple years, probably 10 years or older. And one of the things that we were looking into is it going to work when we need it to work? Question. And so what we were talking about is a possibility of going to a leasing program where we would get a new updated machine and basically lease the machine, and they would do all the service work, they would do all the upkeep to it. Basically, we just have it in the lobby, and it's no fault to us, or basically we don't even have our name on the machine. Right now, if something were to happen and that machine doesn't work, we're liable for it because we're supposed to do the maintenance and we're supposed to do the upkeep. One, I know that David just bought a battery maybe a year and a half ago, and the battery alone was $60 for the battery. And to find the pads for it are basically extinct because the machine is no longer, they don't manufacture that machine anymore. So dealing with this company, I presented it to the safety committee, and both Bob and Roman were there, and they told me it's a good idea, but could we come down on the price that they were asking with this company? And I got them down to $78 a month to service the machines and take care of the machines and all that. So
that's for three machines.
$78, no, per machine.
So all right, so 70.
It's per machine. So basically, it's $948 per machine times three. You're looking at $2,844. To have all three machines, to have the newest model, have all the pads that you need, and have no worries when it comes to having an AED machine. They come in, the reports are all online, they can check them, they'll send us monthly reports telling us the machine's accurate and working, and basically it's one less thing that we have to worry about. I know with having the machine here at the town building, we constantly walk by it on a daily basis. No one will ever check to see if it needs charging. Once in a while, David would be like, when I bring my park one down, he'll come out and grab the one out there because it reminds him that we need to charge the batteries. Here, we don't have to do any of that. They do that monthly inspection. It's included in their fee. So what I did is I printed out the management AED that comes with the fee and what the AED machine is going to look like. This is just a basic AED machine. No bells, no whistles to it on the back. So you can see the management plan and what comes with it. All that is included in your $79. The machine is this what it's going to look like. Basically, I told them we don't need anything fancy. We just need the machine to work if we need it, if we ever need it. Knock on wood, I've been here for 13 something years and we've never needed the machine. I know that the machine is older than that because it was there before I came in. But like I said, the fine, if you go back on the program here, you receive the pads. It comes with, I don't think we're going to need the alarm kit. We can probably use the existing stuff that we have right there. But it comes with all that, and it's a three-year agreement for $79.
Now, there were a couple questions that we brought up during the committee meeting. One of the questions I think that Bob brought up was that this could be a great program. This might be what we end up recommending, but have you looked at any alternatives?
Yes, so I contacted the ambulance corps like you asked me to. They don't do service work like that. What they can do is what they offered me is they would come in and they would train our staff how to use the machine, but they don't carry any of that equipment. Basically, what they have is a higher level of equipment, basically, so when they get into the rig, they can go right into the hospital. That's the kind of machine stuff that they use.
Have you had an opportunity to look to see if there's anything, state grants or anything that the...
To be honest with you...
The state might cover? Because this is only, you know, it's almost $3,000 a year. It's not a lot of money and a big budget for a town, but... You know, the stuff starts to add up.
It does, and I don't know if there is existing grants. To tell you the truth, with everything that's been coming up the line, I've been fairly busy, but I've been able to do this research. The biggest thing is I think this is a good price to pay to have that peace of mind that if we ever needed the machine, that it's there when we need it. The biggest thing is right now is we have a piece of machinery out there that we don't even know if it works because they no longer make the machine. And we're kind of liable to have one here because we're a public building. And if that machine doesn't work, we're going to get sued.
Can you, when you get a free moment, I know the Spray Park vote is coming up tomorrow. When you have a free second, can you look to see, or is there anyone that we have in our town that can... I'm just curious to see if there are any grants that could help cover this in the future, because again, this is going to add up.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I mean, you can't put a price tag on safety.
No, I'm not saying this is a bad idea. I'm just wondering if there might be a grant or something that we can get to fund this. That's all.
So my question, say, is who says we have to have this?
I think because it's a public building that you...
I want to know. Do we have to have these?
Okay, I can look into it, but I believe you do.
Well, that's not a question for you. I think it's a question for our attorney. I'm not so sure. You know, I don't know if it's a nice to do, and I don't want to sound heartless here, but, you know, it's that not every public place has AEDs, and I just don't know what the rules are.
I'm pulling it up. New York State Office of General Services.
And just as importantly, you know, we have them. Has anybody touched them, been trained on them? And
I know that I've been trained on them. I know that Timmy's been trained on them, but I don't know if anybody else has been trained on them. The nice thing about this, too, is in your $79, it does cover training on the machine.
Tony? Inspect them monthly in every school in the city and check the pads for expiration dates and make sure the unit was charged. And they're just like the units you have hanging on the wall right now. I don't know if they've been updated since I left, but it's not a big deal to check these machines. Yes, we may need to update our machines. You know, typically they're like $3,000 a piece to buy them. So
we're almost spending that a year to maintain them.
Yeah.
But there is, if you've ever hooked one up to somebody and seen what it can do for them, they're worth having here. Time's of the essence.
Yeah, I agree.
If one of my workers, which were not chickens, you know, spring chickens over there anymore, or if I need it, I'd like someone to be able to use it. So having it close at hand when you have groups of people, I mean, you could have 100 people in this room, you know. Malls have them, schools have them. Your schools probably have them where you work, right?
Yep.
What's the reason for that?
Well, I think Jerry's right. I mean, it makes sense to have them, I think. But I don't think it's a big deal to check them monthly.
No, I don't think we
to check a pad, check battery.
Do that. It's a very simple machine.
It just sounds like no one's been put in charge of that.
Right. Well, there's an expiration date on the pads. I think it's 6 months or a year.
Right.
I can't remember now, but dates right on them. If they need to be changed out, I'll tell you what we used to do. We used to take the pads that had expired. We would actually use one of the CPR dummies that had the electrode connections on it. And we would actually use those to train. Here's how you put them on. Here's how you turn the machine on, you know, and then you put it back in a cabinet where it's kept charged. So they're not that complicated.
What's the lifespan of the machine itself, Jerry?
Well, if they're maintained and the batteries are kept up, I mean, usually the ones that we have hanging, like the one over at our shop, if it's like the ones I'm very familiar with, it'll say, you know, ready or you know, needs a charge. Or, I mean, the little digital readout will tell you when there's a problem with that machine. So, but they do, need to be, you know, a battery life cycle of so many charges, and, you know, after a while it's just like your home power tools. You know, after a while that battery won't hold a charge like it should. You got to change them out.
Somebody needs to own
$60 versus $3,000. You know, but you're telling me we may not be able to get those batteries, correct?
That's correct. Well, we can get them. They're just going to be more costly than what's out there because that machine is no longer manufactured.
So what's a new machine cost?
It's three grand.
About $3,000.
So, but you bought batteries for one of them?
Did you recently? A year and a half ago, David did.
And pads.
But for, so, no, so, not pads, just a battery.
So for $9,000, we could have new machines, and how long? Then the break point is 3 years. So if this is $3,000 a year, you know, in 3 years, if we buy them, will they last longer than 3 years? How long
absolutely.
Have we had them? They yes. will, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So then why don't we just buy them?
And that's the reason I'm thinking is if we're going to look into spending this money, maybe we should buy them and see if there's an opportunity we could get reimbursed from the state from this.
I'm not going to get reimbursed.
No. As far as a monthly inspection, that's what we used to have to do to every machine citywide in the public schools.
Is that something that one of our...
5 minutes.
That's something Jerry Holt could be in charge of.
Well, any one of us can do it in 5 minutes.
Well... No, but seriously, couldn't one of the fire departments do that as an inspection for us?
They can check it. Just like, I don't know who checks the ones in the local schools out here in the county, but I know we did it as part of our monthly fire safety inspection of the schools.
I don't know if too many fire departments are going to take that liability on. I know the ambulance said that they won't do it.
Schools out here, don't they?
Okay.
That's the nice thing about this program is that it's no liability to us.
Parishes, they do the churches.
Right, so... I'm sure we can talk to him.
It's fuzzy on this law. Pursuant to Chapter 510 of the laws of 2004, Part 303, Title 9 of New York State requires all public institutions and buildings of the state, including lease facilities, to be equipped with automatic external defibrillators.
We are an arm of the state.
I think they actually included in the building code now for public gathering places as well.
Okay. As the agency charged with...
So, and where are they, Tony? Here?
Highway and the park.
In the park. So
at the park.
Right.
We also need a program. You can't just have them. You need a program and you need training.
Which makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this program that it doesn't fall on us on liability. It's basically here if somebody needs to use it and who is trained to use it, we have it available. The liability won't fall on us. Well, if we buy them, now we are liable for maintaining them and keeping the upkeep.
Tony, I agree that if we buy them, we're responsible, but to what Jerry is, I appreciate your input, Jerry. What Jerry is saying is just another tool that we have to service. And you're not to worry about liability. That's this guy's job. And if we think it's appropriate to buy them and make sure the batteries are charged and the pads are up to speed.
But no one's doing that now.
But we can put a policy in place.
Then we'll put a policy in place and someone will do it.
This question would be to Tony, our attorney.
Exactly.
As long as we do our due diligence and maintain and make sure they're up to speed, liability shouldn't be much of an issue.
Yeah, we have a log. You just get a new habit of creating a log for inspection.
Usually a log would be kept right in the cabinet with the machine.
There's the code of rules and regulations tells what you have to do. I'll get that printed out so everybody can see that.
Okay, so then
let's hold off on now for that then.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is that machine is coming up where we need to get the pads for it pretty soon, and we should look at possibly getting a new machine because I don't know if that machine will ever work if we need it to work.
Was Cintas our rug guy?
It is not.
Who did Cintas come in here and make a presentation on this?
And there's no other company that really does. I found one that does it online. They can program and they can reach the AED machine online. But these guys actually come in person and will manually check them. So,
but if a machine is going to last, what, Jerry, 5, 6, 7 years?
10 years?
I wouldn't go that long. They're almost like computers. I mean, constantly technology's changing, things are changing.
Yeah, but if it works, and you know.
May not be the top of the line.
May not be the
Who inspects our fire extinguishers? Jerome?
Jerome.
Yes.
Do they? They wouldn't?
I I don't know if they would or not. We can certainly ask them.
I doubt it.
Yeah, they're pretty much just fire and sprinklers.
Yeah, fire extinguishers.
Okay.
I think CentOS has a program to do fire extinguishers
in the ADs in all the schools to make sure they were doing their jobs. So.
Brilliant idea. Brilliant. Yeah. Lease these things? It's amazing. I mean, it's a beautiful idea. Talk about public safety.
Thanks for
talk
the homework.
About, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Well, yeah. Yep. But on to Tony's request, do we want to make... put this on the agenda next time?
Yeah, we can keep it on. It's not, I don't, in well, my I mind, it's not settled.
Yeah, but I don't think we can defer this. I think we have to fish or cut bait.
Well, when's the expiration date on the pads?
I don't know.
I think we need more information because there's the possibility we have one. We need to know if the ones we have work, for starters. And then if we rotate new ones through, and if the new ones are going to last 10 years...
The nice thing about the system, too, is anytime there's a new model in the thing, it's automatic. You get the newest model every time they come out, so there's no expense to you. It's already covered in your lease.
I'm ready to vote to buy them tonight, okay? And if you want us to do that, we can put that up for a vote, or we can wait and just get some more information. I'm not going to...
We're getting more information. But we'll keep it on the work session for discussion. Yeah. David will be in here, and he'll have more... information for us as far as I think the date on when those pads are due, because I know we either bought pads. I know we bought pads last year.
No, we didn't. I can tell you, we didn't.
Friendly bet.
Huh?
Friendly bet.
Uh-oh.
All right, friendly bet.
I'll find out.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at the machines we've got too, just to kind of get a feel for.
I know they're all 10 years
old. Okay, tablet pads. Come on up, Dan. You've got, this is the latest, right? You put this in our mailbox?
Yeah, I put it in the mailbox tonight.
Okay.
It's the latest analysis of where we would stand in terms of approximating the cost. So we got a plan for 4 tablets, 5 tablets, and 6 tablets I had done for the Verizon.
Which was, from what I remember, heads and tails better than the AT&T cost-wise as
well,
far as
the big, the two. Yeah, the big difference is they're giving us the tablets for free. You know, they're going to hold the price until tomorrow. And that's $149 each. So I think that's, you know.
There's two things for us to consider here. The tablets would be utilized for the Dude Solutions program for those that don't have smartphones or don't have data plans when they're out in the field. It'd be for Greg's use in the assessor's office. It would be 2 for codes and their field work, 1 for Tony for parks, and 1 for...
Jerry.
Well, Jerry. If you're gonna do the Dude Solutions thing,
yeah.
Otherwise, there's no reason for it. That's one. Tablets are one thing. The other thing that I think we definitely need for highway, because they're working in the dark ages, is that high speed. This $40 a month MiFi device, which basically provides for high speed internet.
Yeah.
At
establishes a hotspot at the. Highway department. I mean, for those of you that don't know, they're on a
copper line.
Copper line managed by Verizon. They have no intentions of going down that far. We've looked at that. We've waited for that.
Fiber's $15,000 to get there.
So this is the next best solution to get them up to, you know.
MiFi?
I've never heard of MiFi. I've heard of Wi-Fi.
It's just a device. It's a mobile hotspot type device. And the nice thing about that device is that they'll be able to plug in 3 computers into that device. So, you know, it's nice. They'll be able to connect 3 computers to the internet, high-speed internet based on that device.
When you say high-speed, is it it's faster than DSL?
4G? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fast.
Oh, 4G speeds. Under the notes, first note, Verizon data plan.
Is this enough data? Gigs?
If you're not streaming, that's the other caveat, is that, you know, if you're going to stream videos on these things, and like, when I talked to them, that was not my knowledge.
We're not streaming
anything. This is just for pure data input, you know, going into that system. So, that should change, and we're going to have a problem. But I can't see any reason, unless someone else can, why anyone would need to stream data. You know.
Right. So what are we looking at? How many do we need? 4, 5, or 6?
I think we need 5.
5. 2, 1 for the Greg, the assessor, 2 for codes, 1 for Parks, and 1 for Jerry?
Yep.
And not Al?
Not Al.
Al's got a...
I've got one that we use for the GoPro.
So you're all set.
I'm all set. Yeah. I just need to add the data plan to the device that I have. So we just have to put my device on the data plan, essentially.
And you're not streaming videos, right?
No, I would just stream from the GoPro back to the device. I don't have to...
Right.
Like, upload or download that video that I take into the...
Your GoPro's for, what, GPS and field work? And
if we're doing catch basin or sanitary sewer manhole inspections.
Yep.
So we put the GoPro on an extension pole because we don't have confined space entry so that we can get a look at what's going on in the bottom of the catch basin or manhole.
And so what we propose, I've got to get this straight with David because of separation of accounts. I don't know if that would be a building upgrade or a highway cost. I would think that it would be a building upgrade because it's a utility of the building that highway's using. I would say that would be a general fund charge.
Probably.
And
makes sense.
But the tablet that Jerry would be using would have to be charged to highway. And they're given...
No, like all their computers and stuff in highway are paid through the general fund. That's not a separate highway charge.
Oh, well, there you go then. I'll make sure with David, but for sure I would think that the MiFi would be a...
Building upgrade.
A building upgrade.
And this MiFi, I don't know what we have now, but in highways, you've got computers there. You've got desktop computers,
yeah.
Right?
We have, it's one step above dial-up.
No, I know, but you have a computer there, right?
Yes.
Does this tie into the existing, not just the tablets, does it tie into his existing computers?
It will enable his computer to be plugged into this device, which will get him into the cell towers for high-speed internet access.
Right, but I just want to make sure I understand. We're getting 5 tablets that would have access to this MiFi.
5 tablets will be accessing the towers from wherever they are, just like your phone.
Okay.
All right.
Without this MiFi, you don't need the MiFi.
You don't need the MiFi.
MiFi. No, you don't need the MiFi for.
Jerry needs it.
Okay, so
we're getting that for
just for the garage.
For the garage. Gotcha.
But what we're doing is we're trying to bundle it.
No, I get it.
To get a better price.
I got it. Okay. And then, why does the assessor need one?
Because Greg does inspections out in the field. It's just another way for us to track his activities.
Since has he requested this?
Yeah.
Well, codes, someone pulls a permit to put an addition on.
Right.
Tim is inspecting it when it's done.
Greg goes
has out. To go assess it.
Okay.
So they do a lot of work.
They work together.
So what happens? Community. What happens now? It's just a phone call, or I mean, what happens that Greg knows?
Piece of paper.
They write it on a piece of paper.
It's
Codes has. These tablets are basically to track activity in department. So when Codes goes out and does an inspection, they have a software program that they use outside of Dude Solutions. They've been using that for years. Dude Solutions allows us to track activity in departments. It allows Greg, when he's out in the field, if he sees a building that he didn't know about, he can put in a work order for Tim to check it out or just put in a request, do you know about this building on this road? Tim can say, no, I didn't know, I didn't issue a permit, and vice versa. Tim can be out in the field and say, and issue a work order to Greg, this project's complete, it's ready for inspection.
When Tim does his certificate of occupancy, the assessor gets a copy of that.
And then what about Tony Berkinger? Why does he need one?
Tony can issue work orders from his desktop.
Right now. Right.
But they don't have a computer over there. They don't have any way to get that work order. So this tablet would basically be on the wall. And so if Tony fielded a call and someone wanted to rent a pavilion, that day, Tony can key in a work order for his crew to have pavilion such and such ready, cleaned, X number of tables in there. He can direct work from his desktop. But
to the park.
Yeah. But
from here.
From here. But if he doesn't, if they don't have a pad, if they don't have one of these tablets to look at, a work order
goes nowhere.
And they don't, Tony? Do you have internet service over at the park? Okay, so...
So then how would that work?
Well, the tablet is going to be able to communicate to the...
Towers.
To the towers. Tablets, these tablets communicate through data, through cell towers. The MiFi is a separate item that allows for high-speed internet access for our highway department. But the tablets that we're ordering utilize a data plan. If you have a cell signal...
It's like your phone.
It's like your phone. It's like a phone without being a phone. Yeah.
So why in the parks department would you want to have a tablet as opposed to just another desktop computer where they can look at the screen?
Because they don't have internet access.
They don't have a
so
line there.
A desktop computer can't access the towers. Only a cell phone or a tablet can do that? There's no device you can plug into it?
Yeah, a MiFi.
No, I think...
Yeah, MiFi. Yeah. That MiFi.
Yeah, a mobile hotspot device. It's the one that
yeah, so what the MiFi does is it uses cell towers to provide for high-speed internet.
I know, but I want to make... You wouldn't have to pay for that. Can't you plug something into a desktop computer to access a cell tower without paying for it?
Well, you have to have a data plan.
Yeah, and that's what the MiFi is.
Yeah. And these tablets, they're free. They're included with, well, not free, nothing's free, but they're it's part of the package. These tablets...
It says free.
Well, it says free as long as we pay them $2,279 a year.
It's like your phone, you know. You'll get a free phone if you, you know, sign
yeah,
up.
Yeah, this was
two,
free.
2 years, spend 3 years, right?
Exactly. So these iPads, they're easily breakable, these tablets.
Well, they're tablets. They're not iPads. So we would probably get...
About this size, too.
That's what they look
so
like.
So if a screen screen repairs aren't that expensive, but are we going to have any insurance on these? Or
I got insurance on this. I used it once. It was a rip-off. I mean, the pads don't...
You still pay a lot, even if you have the insurance.
Yeah. You're still... That's an $800 phone. I've still got to pay like $400 to do it.
Yeah. To fix it. I'm okay with this program, but I just want to ask one more question. Every one of these, except for the Parks Department, is going into someone's hands. Greg,
yes.
The codes people, Jerry. I'm a little concerned about parks. The thing is just going to sit in that office. Is it going to be glued to a wall?
We can get a mount. Or
well, I'm just thinking someone could walk off with it. It's just a little thing.
Yeah. We can get an app. They can download an app on it, and you know exactly where the pad is. No one steals phones anymore because you can track the phones.
Well, it can be mounted. The reason we want it is so that people can walk in and read a work order.
Right.
So can we get a mounted on the wall so it doesn't come up?
Sure.
Because no one's carrying it with them, right?
They could. But for a park, everything's right there, centrally located. So, no, it shouldn't really
they can
be
check
needed
off the
to
list.
Travel outside of the barn.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And that would alleviate Bob's concern.
Well, I don't know if it's as... I don't want to micromanage this, but if it's mounted where you can't take it off, that may be not what we want. You know, someone may want to be able to go out in the park somewhere.
Tell you what.
But at the same time, I don't want it just sitting on a desk because I think it will walk.
Well, I was going to say, the beauty of having the tablets is if the Parks Department sees something, the people that are working over there that doesn't look right or is out of the ordinary, at the same time, they can create a work order, take pictures of it, and send it off to Tony and get direction on where he wants them to go.
I'll get in here, perfect example. 2 years ago, Highway did work in parks, thousands of dollars worth of work. It was never invoiced. Highway never got reimbursed. I mean, so literally, you know, Tony, when he puts a work order in for Highway, Jerry has what he needs to invoice back to Parks so that his department can get reimbursed.
Yeah, I'm sold. I just think that, Tony, if you're listening back there, if we buy you one of these, it's going to be your responsibility to make sure that when it ends up in the Parks Department, it's secure, that somehow...
Can you secure a tablet over there and make sure...
You don't have anything to lock
for it, but doesn't mean anything. Really.
Well, it's just behind a locked door. That's
good. Safe there.
You got a safe over there?
No.
Hide it? Can you hide it? Can you put it under some cones?
Can you lock the building up?
Anything?
I didn't blame somebody.
All right,
so I'll get you a footlocker. I got one you can use. So now you have a secure footlocker, and I'll even get you a padlock.
My point was made. I just want to make sure that all of them are secure. That, you know, they're handed to someone, and it's that person's responsibility to keep it secure.
Yeah.
So are we voting on this tonight?
Because
he says this.
It'll be good. Away. Yeah, tomorrow it will expire.
And we never put down the motion, huh?
And the money's coming from a variety of sources, right? So does that have to be determined at this point?
No.
Within the motion, or can it be determined? With
the contract is between us and the provider. How we pay for it is...
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that tomorrow, because I want to write this up correctly, because it's fair to undo. Once the contract is written up, it's just really hard to undo it. I want to make sure that the right party gets the right billing, gets the right budget number.
So I don't think we had that other one float. So we'll add that motion.
Security, Superintendent Highway.
$2,279.28. That's the plan, right?
That's
the
first year, $2,300.
We're looking at the 5-tablet plan, yeah.
29.27. It's right next to it.
29.27.
So I'm going to make motion Q.
Oh. 5-tablet plan is 23.29. So
First year.
Oh, 22.79 each year thereafter.
And are we obligated to this program in any way, or is it?
I think we are. Two-year deal. I think it's a two-year contract. Year?
That's where the free tablets come in.
Yeah.
That's where they get you.
Okay. I just want to know. Fair? It's two sure. years.
Well, if it's different, I'll let you know, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It's a two-year deal?
It's a two-year deal, yeah. For Verizon, yes.
Well, I know, but I don't think I included that.
Written on the sheet, but it's in my email.
I mean, we can back out of this is all I'm asking at a certain point.
After two years.
Yeah.
Or pay out whatever we have to do.
I'll get that.
Are we voting on it tonight?
I mean, sure. We can. When this is, you needed a decision, right? Because of the special.
The special ends tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks ago it would have been 2 weeks.
Right. Well, we tabled it two weeks ago. This was first brought up 2 weeks ago. I asked Dan to come in and answer any questions that the board may have.
So, as part of our motion, can we, in our motion, make it a 2-year plan? Make it.
Yeah.
And then when you go tomorrow,
okay.
You know, because if you go tomorrow and I don't want to vote if I don't know how long this contract goes.
Absolutely.
But I do want to vote because I know the deadline is tomorrow. So can we make it in the motion, make it 2 years, and then...
As rendered 2 years.
Yeah, because this says year two and after.
Right.
I mean, what are we committed to? We need to know.
Bingo.
2-year plan. I'll get that writing to everybody here.
Okay.
But if we make the motion that way, then that's the way... That's the way we voted, and then...
Okay, so we'll make that motion.
Okay.
I get a motion to authorize the supervisor.
Now I'm going to look at my computer now. If it's something different, I'll come back.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for all the work. Thank you. And just, you know, because the question is legitimately going to be asked, this money is coming out of where? It's not been budgeted, so contingency?
I'm not sure David was going to decide that, I guess.
Well, we didn't budget for it, so it's got to come out of contingency.
Yes. Okay. It would be. Supervisor just signed a 2-year mobile device and data plan with Verizon.
Okay, I'll let you guys know as soon as I hear.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Not to exceed.
So you
24.
Do you add those two together?
Not to exceed.
That's the first year, and that's the second year?
Not to exceed $2,329.27 per year, and that gives you a $70, $60 flexibility in the cost.
Gotcha.
Not to exceed.
Should be a $49.99 difference, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Because it's the one time. According to my calculations.
Per year. Okay. Lease agreement for space. Tony, you had an opportunity to look at the pyramid proposal.
Yep.
You requested that they made some changes.
Yep.
Bob had a couple questions as to what we were on the hook for if we reneged on the deal, if we needed the space.
Their deal is dependent upon us approving the lease. So if they bring somebody to us and we say it's not enough money, we don't like it, there's nothing. We only pay them a commission if they bring us somebody that we want in terms of rent and time and so forth. If that doesn't happen, we don't owe them anything. The only thing that we're obligated to is if they bring somebody to us.
Once we sign a lease?
This is not the lease. This is just their listing agreement. Once we sign a listing agreement, if they bring Peter in to rent the place, and we say, you know, we don't want your listing agreement anymore, we're going to have to pay if Peter, in fact, rents the place.
Right, we can't just bail on them.
Right.
If we hire them to lease the space.
Right, but the lease that they present us has to be approved by us. So if they I got a great tenant for you, but then he wants to pay $5 a square foot or whatever, we say no. So we owe him nothing.
Okay.
What's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Did you change something in that to reflect that?
No, it's in there now.
Okay.
Tony,
look at the very top. It says they're going to present at a rental or market rate for a square foot for a period of time deemed acceptable to the owner,
okay,
or at such lease price at terms as are acceptable to the owner.
Okay.
So it's all our call.
And you got them to loosen up on the time frames and payment?
Yes.
Didn't they want something like?
Yeah, it was supposed to be, we were going to pay them in 7 days or something like that. I don't know if this is just the draft. I don't know if this is the revised one because I haven't seen the revised one.
And it's in here somewhere, but how long of an agreement is this for? How long are we retaining them?
Six months ago.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. 6 months from the time we signed it. This is still the old one. The changes I made were. And they were minor changes. It was just said we needed 30 days to pay the commission if that happens.
Can you just, Joe, just briefly describe the space that we're relatively familiar with, this building that we'd actually be leasing out?
Yeah, so it's the area that Parks used to occupy for the most part. We still have the historian located back there. It's a big open space.
It's a big room.
It's a big room.
But it's got...
surrounded by offices.
Four or five offices?
Six or seven offices.
Six or seven.
May I interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
I just talked to them, and they said it terminates whenever you want it to terminate. So there's no minimum time frames. It's a New York State contract deal. So.
Okay, so the motion...
So you want it to be over.
So the motion...
You can go as long as you want.
We're just saying...
Thank you.
Listen to the motion. Motion made by authorized the supervisor to sign a 2-year mobile device and data plan with Verizon, not to exceed $2,329 per year. So just sign a mobile device and data plan.
Yeah.
We'll get rid of the 2-year. All right, thanks. Hey, appreciate you for coming in. You don't have to stick around if you. I don't anticipate any other questions coming up. All right.
You're not getting fired tonight.
You're good to go.
Pizza's not coming for a while.
Okay, so those offices that face that big open space in there. So what about the times that we've used that space?
We've used it for parks. We've used it for emergency meeting space. But, you know, it's for my time here, I think we've used it one time. Planning board met there.
We've met a number of times there.
Since I've been here?
Conflict. Now that you seem to have a schedule.
Schedules work.
But since I've been on the planning.
Yes, they do.
Since I've been on the planning board, we've probably met there 5 or 6 times.
Okay. So, you know,
the conference room could work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you've got 7 planning board members, and the average attendance on a planning board, if there was a conflict, you know, maybe 10, 12. Is there that many people in the audience?
Depends on the topic.
What are you laughing at?
Depends on the topic. Jim.
All right, Jim, even Jim's laughing.
We have nights when this is our sole customer.
Yeah. And then there's nights when we have a full house, but it would be extremely yeah, it'd be extremely rare for us to have a conflict where we've got a pretty good schedule now where we're the first and third Thursday and you are the second Thursday.
Should be.
Yeah, and so the revenue that we could possibly generate, if it's, I don't know, 30 grand a year, 33, I mean, I think it more than justifies the occasional need for the space. Parks is basically
settled in their new offices.
Settled into the new offices. Tony's got a new swing line stapler and adjusting well.
The stapler is all you need.
This is a great building, but it's a lot of building. And if there's an opportunity for us to generate some revenue to help offset our costs, then
it's a great idea.
And if we can't, we can't. But
so is that on the agenda to vote on?
No, but we can put it on.
I missed the last meeting. Obviously, was there an authorization to sign the listing agreement?
No, they had some questions that couldn't. They wanted you here to answer a couple questions, so I can definitely add that to the agenda if the board's comfortable with that. It was on the last agenda.
Does anybody have any other questions about it? Other than, as I say, the minor change was we were supposed to pay the commission within 10 days after the due date. I told them I wanted that to be 30 days. The other change was also
minor. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions. So how are they accessing that space? They're coming through the main door of the building?
We talked to the, I think Corey is his name? Was his name Corey? The gentleman that we met with?
You met with him, I don't know.
He said, you know, that's up to us, but we could accommodate access through our atrium, or there's two back doors. There's a side door that is very convenient if they wanted a more private access spot. If it was a company that required more privacy and they didn't want to see their clients, other people see their clients necessarily, there's a more private door that's actually a nice entrance. There's an emergency exit out the back. The only thing that we'll have to consider when we negotiate a lease is there are cabinets, there are filing cabinets that are fire rated cabinets that codes.
Or all the building permit files.
All the building permits. So we're going to have to build out like a
wall.
Just a wall.
And what about securing the town space, you know, after hours and on weekends, making sure that there's no possible way that they can access?
Separate key.
Yeah, when we finish, especially when we finish phase two, this building will be buttoned up. Even the...
I mean the hallway where the clerk's office is. They can't access that.
They won't be able to access that door.
Nope. Right now there's fobs on both those doors.
Yep.
Both the print room and the clerk's office.
And everything else will be.
But there should be there be another door at the end of that hallway so they can't even get into the hallway where the clerk's office.
Well, the other thing you got to remember is if we get a tenant here, there's going to be negotiations on all that. Okay. The tenant may say, you know, I want you to build this. We'll build it for them as long as they pay for it.
All right.
You know, so that kind of stuff I think would come in.
They'll have to have access to our restrooms.
Right.
And I would be even open if they wanted to use the kitchen. I mean, that's all negotiable.
Yeah, it's all part
of the full kitchen. They're not. I don't think they should use the shower, but that's just my opinion.
Not unless they want to pay a little extra.
Yeah, if they want.
Yeah, I'm, yes. I would want to make sure that after hours and on weekends, there's just absolutely no way they can get to any other part of this building.
No, actually, it's going to be pretty secure. This building is, it'll be all fobbed up.
But if they're here after, let's say on weekends, they can get
to the restroom.
In order to get to the restrooms, they've got to be into the vestibule.
Yeah, the restrooms won't be locked. The restrooms, if you're in the atrium, if you can get to the atrium, which I would think that they're going to want because they need bathroom use. If you can get to the atriums, you can get to the restrooms. You could even get to the kitchen.
But that's it. You can't get anywhere else.
But that's it. Any other questions?
What about parking?
Parking would be negotiable.
Well, I mean, there's requirements depending on how many people you lease in. Do you have enough spaces?
Well, we would have to rely on what was determined for this building. I'm going to guess that the parking that we have now is adequate for the maximum space for this building.
I was just thinking that if they're going to be occupying that end of the building, they access, this is where all the people come. There's plenty of room back here, but then you've got to walk all the way around the building.
No, I would think that they would want access to the lot closer to their wing.
Well, I understand that, but that's where all your customers have to park.
I would say the customer access for them would be through that. Employee parking would be over there and they could walk around.
Yeah, but Jack raises a good point. I mean, if who knows who they may be, but if they have a lot of people coming to them, there's only, what, a couple of dozen spots out here.
It's all our call.
But the parking lot was sized according to the building.
And yeah, I think...
There used to be a lot of employees in this building when it was SSAC.
Yeah, there's a lot of spaces over there. I mean, we rarely use that. That lot is, it's typical of parking requirements in New York State where it's a blacktop jungle. It's rarely fully used. You drive to Home Depot, you got to drive a half mile over a parking lot just to get to the building. It's empty.
Yeah, I mean, if tenant
and, if, and if it's too big, we just say, yeah, it's not a good fit.
Yeah.
How many employees? What's your anticipated growth?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is your kind of business? There are certain businesses we might not want here. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping for a nice, quiet law firm. Tony, you want to relocate? So we'll add that then as an item R for the board's permission to authorize the supervisor to hire Pyramid. Okay.
Brokerage company.
I don't know if it's higher. I think it might be the word retain.
Retain. Pyramid brokerage to lease excess
the West Wing.
East Wing. No. It's the East
Wing.
I'll put that in there. East Wing space. East Wing office space. Is that all right, Tony?
Yeah. And I'll get the revised agreement for you to sign.
Joe, before we get into a protracted discussion on farm animals and chickens, you had asked me to come up with that.
Ow. Did that come out your nose?
The protracted discussion on farm animals and chickens.
Gotcha.
All right. I came up with alternative wording for that workplace violence thing because you said we could discuss that and maybe vote on it to add to that workplace.
Yeah, I don't... when David gets here, I think we can change that. Let me see if it takes an official motion because it was just to address one of the...
Well, do you want to review what I wrote?
Yeah.
You all got copies of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. My email was down all day. I apologize. Something's wrong with our system. Al, did you ever get your email up?
Mine came up midday or so. Right. It was off for a while this morning. It wasn't.
So you want me to read it?
Sporadically, yes. Stuff would come in, and then it wouldn't. And
so this would replace item 2 on page 22 of that draft, and it says, in order to better serve the public, some town of Lysander business is conducted after normal daytime working hours, such as evening meetings, building maintenance, or on weekends, which would require some employees to work during those times. If any concern for personal safety arises during those times, the town will do what is reasonable to mitigate and allay those concerns, because the town views employee safety as of paramount importance.
Love it.
Perfect.
I don't know if we need to, I'll ask if we need to put
did
it in.
Did we approve the rest of the whole thing?
Yes, yeah.
We did. It's just a modification?
It's just a modification.
I mean, you can just, a simple resolution saying I approve the modification, or we approve the modification, as presented by
R.S. Sure.
You are a wordsmith.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Getting perilously close to the end of the alphabet.
Yeah.
Amending item
S,
item number 2 on page 22 of Lysander's workplace violence program to read, and I'll read it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thanks.
All right. Farm animals and zoning. So, Jack actually offered some language that would be a slight modification to our existing code. Did you look at Clay's language?
I didn't look at Clay's. I looked at, is that what Dina sent us?
I think Dina
forwarded it. Salinas.
And I mean, I didn't think it applied to this, because it was really stringent about not allowing dogs at all off leashes and things like that. I don't even think we should go down that road.
No.
So, I mean, I thought I'm just relying on you. It basically says farm animals are only allowed to be maintained, housed, or harbored on land zoned for agricultural uses. And that's simple. That's what I don't know if that's opening up a can of worms, but which you're allowed to have worms, but.
Worm farm.
Could you read that again, please, Bob?
Okay, so this was what Jack gave us. It's the positive. Farm animals are only allowed, be maintained, housed or harbored on land zoned for agricultural uses. And in parentheses, that is zoning districts A and AR40.
All the ag districts and building lots that are AR40s.
AR40.
So,
because it's in an ag district.
So you go out to Plainville Road, AR, the blinking light, 20. Take a right. AR10. All that's all ag.
AR40.
Ag or AR40.
It is all ag or AR40. Is that correct? I mean, the map.
Any residential development on that zoning map, mm-hmm, is zoned R20, R12.5, R10.
Right. Right.
So they can't be there.
Right. I get that. What I'm asking is, so I'm giving you one road just because I'm... Yes. Plainville Road from, say, Plainville Road from blinking light, a 370, to Church Road.
Well, Joe...
Well, could you tell me how?
Go from Jack's Reef to?
It's all green.
The county line.
If it's all green.
It's all ag.
That's what I mean. We got people out in the country, even though they're living next to each other.
But, yeah.
But it's still ag.
Yeah.
That's.
You're right. You're
is that right, Joe?
Yeah, I mean.
I think what this does, Pete, is even if you happen to have a house on a half acre in that area, you can still have chickens.
That's what I'm
saying.
Yep, so that's all right. Until you're in the
hand. Jack's Reef.
All of this country.
Through Plainville, through Lysander.
So it's dark green and light green.
And light.
Even this.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, not R40.
R40.
They say R40 is green.
Oh, light gray.
So this is still
green. Right. Reeves and Emmy.
Yep. And Irene Drive.
Irene Drive is right.
No, I'm sorry. It's not Irene.
Yeah. What is it? Right there.
Oh.
Yes.
Even that area.
Have it in Chatham Woods.
Chatham Woods. Undergassed. Okay, I'm good.
And how does that
long as it's ag?
Yeah.
But you want them in Chatham Woods?
Chatham Woods could
what
happen.
I don't want is I don't
how do you deal with that?
Chatham Woods seems to be up.
What is it zone? The R40?
Yeah.
Then they can have.
I mean, it's a neighborhood not hardly different than where you live.
So that's 1 acre lots.
Which surprises me because this, I live here.
No, you're out here.
Over there.
Yeah, we live over there. Now that was all ag, but when it was developed, it was turned into R20. Mm-hmm. And all these developments, as they come along, they get reclassified right. From. And I'm surprised one, that one stayed day. AR40 when they reclassified.
And out here, too.
Yep.
West Phoenix.
Yep.
West Phoenix.
Well.
So, you know, that's a real exception right there.
Well, so is Irene Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is Irene
Drive. So is Irene
but,
Drive.
Yeah.
But we really can't, those exceptions can't,
you see,
can't dictate the policy.
Right.
And that was the challenge that you guys gave, because when I first offered something, it was, okay, here's where you can put them, AR-10, AR-12.5, AR-20. But that raises the issue of, you know, like you said, people who live in or you can't put them, AR-40. So I just reversed it around and said, all right, let's say where we can put them, which is just in ag zones. Yep. Because 98% of everything that's developed residentially, high density, is AR20 or less.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that.
I'm not sure you can find them.
And I know that there are.
Cover every.
Right. And I know that there are these exceptions, but I'm good with those exceptions rather than limiting everybody.
If you look at some of the other town laws, like I did on this, the way they handle something like this is they put a minimum acreage number along with AR-40.
Yeah.
But then that throws you into a problem
out
there.
So,
we just
well, no, the minimum acreage would because they've got plenty.
No, but
no, in other words, you're saying you've got to have at least 3 acres of land.
Let's say you had, you
or
said,
two, whatever the number
see all these little.
There's plenty of houses out there, Joe, that are on half-acre lots. And it might,
yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you just defeat the purpose of letting people in the country.
Create a role.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to protect, those little
I was trying to react
lots.
To Peter's
should we,
comment the last
can, time. Can, in a law, can we, like, because that's an anomaly.
Yes.
But can we mention that development specifically in the law, except in
Chatham Woods?
Chatham Woods, the development of Chatham Woods. I see that on occasion.
Or
specific areas of a town are referenced where a law
because it's an exception. If it becomes a problem, I think we can address it at that time by talking to everybody in that area.
I don't know the legal answer to that. That's obviously Tony, but I would say you're almost bordering. You're not, but it's like spot zoning.
Exactly.
You really don't want to get into that. And I mean,
right.
Normally you have a law that covers everybody, and it's the same. It's uniform law all over.
Right.
So if it's AR-40, it's AR-40 wherever it is.
Right.
And it's very difficult to say it's AR-40 except for these people.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, why are they different than everybody?
Well, and they might even have I don't know if they have an HOA or a covenant.
And they may not even have an issue. Right. They have a homeowners association there?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do.
So it's not, you know.
But it may not be an issue. It may never become an issue.
Well, and the
we
way
we never thought it would be where we live.
If we go forward with this, there has to be a public hearing, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully, at the public hearing, we will hear.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we craft the actual law? I also, in the law, want some language that these farm animals need to be controlled.
What do you mean?
Because we can't have chickens
restricted to the owner's property.
Yeah, there needs to be a level of responsibility to control your livestock or your chickens or whatever. If we're going to address this, we might as well address the other issue that
we
had
prior.
Yeah. It's no big deal. I've seen it a million times in researching this.
Right.
It's just a little clause.
Be confined to the premises.
You're right.
Just be confined to the
premises. So if they aren't, who is enforcing it? Is it code enforcement enforcing this, or are we going to pool enforce?
Next door neighbor.
If it's a town law, the code enforcement would do it.
There'll be a complaint by a neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, if it was me, it'd be my Pelican.
but of course, for all of us, that'd be fine.
They are
to
quiet,
Roman's
aren't they,
question,
Joe?
No point.
Easy shot.
It would be code enforcement.
So
would.
Are we gonna do this for next session or?
Yeah, because we don't have language.
Yeah, I'll draft a law.
Yeah.
That's the one we're gonna use, which is the positive.
Thank you for bringing that.
Make it.
Right, what about
thank you, Joe.
Adding control?
Yeah, and adding control.
Here, Joe.
Right, yeah, something about keeping
all animals
keeping them contained within the property
on their premises.
On their premises.
Got that, Tony?
Mm-hmm. What did you say?
I said that was simple.
Yeah, animals must be confined to property.
But what I didn't like about the Liverpool one, it says your dog had to be on a leash.
Right.
No, I mean, we're not going down.
Most of the animal things. Most animal things are dog leash laws.
Leash laws. There is a leash law. But that was true about the dog park.
Right.
The first rule was you must be in control of your dog at all times,
right, exactly.
Whether it's on a leash or off the leash. You still got to be able to control your dog.
All right. Good. Lighting district energy performance contract.
David's here. If you need him.
Where's David? Hey, David, you got a second?
I do.
Come on over. You're the next contestant.
Come on down.
Now that we're done with farm animals. We'll take that next animal.
All right, we had questions for David regarding, we're going to modify item number 2 on page 22 of the workplace violence program with some language that...
We did some wordsmithing.
Bob did some wordsmithing.
All right.
Very eloquent. That's within our right, I'm sure. We can modify that at any time. We'll do a more formal review in September before the budget in case anything comes up where we have to allocate funds to solve.
Okay.
What was the other issue? Oh, tablets.
Yeah.
Paying for them.
Out
of what?
I think the tablets are free in this plan.
They are. At least I think that's what Dan said.
And I know what it was. The MiFi, is that a building improvement?
A what?
The MiFi?
It's like a hotspot.
The hotspot?
That'll be charged to the buildings, yes.
Okay. That's what I
thought.
And
then what about, it was the building improvement?
The service will be charged to each department that's using.
All right, so the cost will be divided up
between parks.
Yep. For each department that's participating, okay. I guess. Is the
and none of this
how
is
how do you split out the data
budget
usage?
We'll just have to take the bill and maybe
divide up the
divide by
it
five.
Up. If there's five departments, they're going to share it equally. Or
Jerry still finally gets to stream.
Unless they can break it out on the bill somehow.
That would be nice. They should have. Each tablet should have its own ID.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They should be able to do
that. Should be able to do that.
All right. Good deal. Those are all. What other questions do we have?
There was one more.
Real important.
AEDs.
AEDs.
The answer is yes. Did we last year buy new pads for the AEDs?
Yeah, the answer. The reason the answer no. is because he's got a bet.
He does. It's a friendly bet, but it's important.
How do you know?
Because I went and looked at the pads.
Yeah.
So they're outdated. It's
been a while.
They're outdated. They're going to be difficult to get.
In fact, I don't even know if you bought. You didn't even buy them for all of them, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
That's the easiest.
In 2015.
That's the easiest $100 you ever made.
Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong.
All right.
Winner.
Well, that's why you said the answer was yes. Sorry. Sorry, Joe. Your leg wasn't long enough to kick me.
No. No. All right. All right, so we're talking about...
I don't know.
Well, at budget time, I guess we could phase them in or buy them all at once.
The AEDs? At budget time?
I mean, we haven't budgeted $9,000 to replace three AEDs. No, I think
we would have to take it out of contingency.
Get through the year
and do it now.
Yeah, no, I think. I mean, we should.
I'd have Jerry. In
budget time's going to be here in 6 months. Have Jerry do his magic. Yeah. He'll try them on himself, right?
Sure.
The AEDs. Make sure they work.
Maybe I can come up with something.
Might take all three.
Yeah. Put it on my chair. See what happens.
Can you give us, do a little inspection?
I'll have to go like this. Well, it's been 8 years. Do I remember how to do this?
Yeah. All right. That's, other than that, the lighting district, we met with SmartWatt and National Grid.
You want me to talk to
them? Yeah. Come on over.
You can have the seat back, Al. I don't like this.
So we've Joe and I have met with a couple different vendors, and I'll forward you some email stuff. What we're looking at is doing an energy performance contract. There's a bunch of different vendors that provide them. The first group we met with was Danforth. We've met with SmartWatt now. Our next step should be to do an RFQ and get companies to give us proposals for what the payback's going to be, what the fixtures are going to be, to convert all our post-mounted LEDs and all our streetlights to LEDs, including the post mounts. Right now, National Grid does not have an approved LED post mount light by the PSC tariff, which is disturbing to me. In that LED has been out for a decade now, or longer, a decade and a half. And
what's National Grid doing?
It's the PSC has not approved a post mounted light for them to install. At least a year out, from what I understand on it, and we're
18 months out of an actual. If we move forward on this,
yeah, we're 18 months out of moving forward with this. But right now, annually, just in maintenance costs alone for the poles and foundations for our lights, we're spending $172,500 a year to National Grid to maintain
concrete
foundation and a pole.
Annually.
There's a huge savings to owning the poles and lights. We'll have to buy them from National Grid, and then we buy them from National Grid.
They installed them?
What's that?
They installed them.
Yeah, National Grid installed them originally. We buy them from National Grid, finance that cost as debt service. The savings of $172,500 a year pays for that debt service. And in addition, you have energy use savings of $40,000 a year. The total savings that we're looking at per year, estimated right now, is $259,900. We're talking $260,000 a year we could save by doing this.
That's net savings.
Net savings.
Who does the maintenance after we put the
we would have to contract it.
So that also includes us putting aside
He actually has a budget number of $37,700 for annual maintenance for us to contract out to do that maintenance. We don't have that many poles get hit by cars a year. We don't have that many. And these LED fixtures, it's not like an HID bulb where you're putting in a bulb every 18 months. These are a 20-year fixture.
You should have seen the National Grid guy try to justify the cost for the maintenance of the concrete.
Yeah, and Andy
he knew it too. It was bad.
Okay, so we are 18 months out from being able to even take advantage of it.
That's how long it'll take. There's a process. So you do an RFQ, you select a company, you go through the design process, you authorize them to bid it, you finance the project through them, and then then you got to get it all installed. So you're at least a year, you're probably a year plus to get through the whole process of getting this done.
But it's worth it.
It's $260,000 a year. It's a huge savings.
Even if we're spending $60,000 to maintain it.
And the new National Grid tariff, the PSC tariff that National Grid's operating under now, has readjusted the depreciation values on these fixtures. They're using a true depreciation of 50 years.
70.
Or sorry, 70 years for these lights. No light lasts 70 years. So it's going to be prorated over a 20-year basis. Most of our lights are 20 years old. There should not be a huge cost for us to buy these fixtures. This would be a huge win for the town once we pull the trigger on it. We have a form RFQ that I want to go over that the Smart Watt provided us. I'll go over it with Tony in the next 2 weeks, and at the next board meeting, I'd like to get authorization to advertise for bids for that RFQ to pull the trigger on this.
The RFQ doesn't commit us to anything. The next step.
Just the next step. I just need to finalize that actual language in it.
So you don't need anything tonight.
I just want the board to be aware of where we're at. Great. There's you'll see two resolutions on the agenda for Joe to sign a couple forms. Part of the new National Grid tariff was with the PSC, was that they had a third party do an audit of all of our streetlights. They actually found no errors. Which is not surprising because we had an audit done just 4 years ago that corrected a bunch of errors. We need authorization for Joe to sign that form. And then PSC also said that they need to square up all their paperwork and have on file service contracts with all the municipalities for street lighting. So there's a service contract. The service contract says it'll be in effect for a period of 1 year. I clarified with Dave Hess, who's a National Grid lighting coordinator for the municipalities, that does not prohibit us from buying out of the buying their assets, because that's a requirement of the PSC tariff as well, that they have to sell us the assets on that 20-year depreciation value to allow us to do these retrofits.
I think this is terrific. Just a question, the $172,000 that, quote, we're spending annually, that's actually through the district, so the residents
Correct.
Are paying that. It's
Correct.
Not coming out of our annual budget.
Yeah, it's a district cost,
right.
Yeah.
But that's still, oh my gosh, that's significant.
Well, it's in a good point we talked about in our meeting. This can help us. Not that the cap still exists, but district costs have an impact on our cap.
Absolutely.
This would be a major reversal.
I mean, it'll be a few years down the road. The estimated payback is 7 years in the SmartBot proposal that they gave us.
Good.
So after 7 years, we really start to see some real, net savings. I mean, it's a few years down the road, but this is kind of a...
Gotta start someplace.
Yeah, this is a this is something that we really need to... It would be a smart financial move to pursue it.
So we buy the streetlights.
Correct.
We put money aside.
Yep.
Hire a contractor to...
Do maintenance.
To do maintenance.
Correct.
Sounds like a no-brainer.
It does sound like...
Life expectancy on these LED fixtures is 20 years.
Well...
And how do we... let the residents know.
that we're going to do an auto.
Well, until we, I don't know as we do. Yeah, we would have to send out public notice once we had a plan in place and knew what the fixtures were going to be, so we can tell them. You know, one of my complaints on the Radisson fixtures is they've got these little 150-watt bulbs in them. They don't cover the whole intersection. There's a ton of pedestrians in Radisson, and we have a substandard light. If a pedestrian's entering the intersection, you can't necessarily see them if you're driving a car, because the intersections just aren't well lit, because we have such, they're a very expensive, low quality light, in my opinion. And the LED, we can, when we do the retrofit, we can get direction on them. They're brighter. We can, we should be able to light all of these intersections completely, so we don't have that hazard.
We might even be able to change out some of those fixtures, get rid of those box.
Shoebox style.
Shoebox. Maybe we'd reach out to Radisson with a couple styles to see what they might be interested in. I mean, there's enough money here to really make some nice upgrades. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
very nice.
Yeah, this is
great news. Right,
so those are the resolutions that are on here. That allows us to take the next step.
Yep. No, we're not taking a step on the RFQ yet, but it's the resolutions that were required for National Grid under the new tariff.
Gotcha.
Right.
We have two seeker forms that we need to go through here. Pass it down, Roman. Take one and pass it down. I do. As a matter of fact,
there's two. The codification.
There's 5 hours.
That's Pollock, and here's the codification. I'll give you the original one that's got my. So this has got the original now.
Okay, good. Thank you, sir.
So, this is Pollock, so we don't have to do anything with part one. We have to do part two, which is on page 3 of the file you have. So I'm just going to read through these questions, put what I put for responses. Anybody disagrees, speak up, and then we would, you know, be in a position to declare a negative declaration by resolution on tonight's agenda. So, will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations? No, it's not a conflict. It's a action to change. Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land? No. It's not a major impact. It will change the use, but it's not a major impact in that there are other commercial businesses adjacent to the proposed change. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action have an impact on environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walking? This is on Route 48. It's not a high-volume business, so I said no. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No, because it'll be built to the New York State Energy Code. Will the proposed action impact public-private water supplies? No. Will the public-private wastewater treatment utilities? No. Will the proposed action impair the quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources? Example, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna? No. In addition to this seeker form, the developer or the owner, when he comes into the planning board for site plan approval, planning board will need to do an additional seeker at that stage. Right now, this seeker is only for the local law to change the zoning of the parcel.
That's correct.
The next one is for the codification. So part one on this is really simple because this is the local law.
Yeah.
We answer question one, and then I just provided a memo that is on page four of the document that I just handed you. Simply states, as you know, New York State Environmental Quality Review Law requires municipalities to review potential environmental impacts of all projects within the town. The proposed update of the Code of the Town of Lysander is considered a local law which requires review under SEAKER. The Town of Lysander recently went through a comprehensive review of the existing town code to make correct numerous discrepancies and typographical errors. In addition to the corrections, the code sections were renumbered to allow for expansion of the code sections in the future. So that is all part one entails for this one. Part two is what we're going to focus on tonight, or now, which is the same questions that we went through for the Pollock subdivision. We got to answer the same questions for this. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations? No. Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that cause establishment of a critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy as it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing public-private water supplies? No. Public-private wastewater treatment utilities? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources? Example, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, and fauna? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. Questions, comments, concerns?
Pretty straightforward.
Very good. That's just something that we're required by SEAKER law to actually run through and vocalize at a public meeting prior to passing the resolution of negative declaration.
And once you do, then I will sign it, and it will be
a thing of the past.
Thing of the past.
Thing of the past. Okay. And we can open our public hearings at the June 7th meeting without having to do that ahead of time. So it just streamlines that meeting a little bit, so we're not starting and stopping.
Perfect.
To do these resolutions before the public hearings.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks. Very good.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
You know, we got a couple executive sessions we'll probably go into after.
A couple?
Two. Brief. They'll be brief. No action anticipated.
Always. They're always brief.
All right, so we'll take a recess.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good. Hi. There you go.